This is Encounter on VOA. Here's Carol Castillo.
Welcome to Encounter on the Voice of America. On this edition of the program, crisis in Brazil. High-level corruption threatens to bring down the Dilma Rousseff government as the country grapples with the Zika virus on the eve of the Olympic Games in Rio de Janeiro. Hello again, I'm Carol Castiel. Last month, about 3 million Brazilians filled streets across the country to protest corruption and call for the impeachment of deeply unpopular President Dilma Rousseff and the jailing of her predecessor, Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, also known as Lula. President Rousseff is alleged, among other things, to have violated the country's fiscal responsibility law with stimulus spending during her re-election campaign, then of using creative accounting to hide it. She claims that the effort in Congress to impeach her is a coup attempt launched by her political adversaries. The upheaval began 2 years ago when prosecutors discovered a scheme inside the national oil company, Petrobras. Contractors had paid nearly $3 billion in bribes to executives who, in turn, channeled money into the campaigns of parties in Brazil's governing coalition. Nearly 40 politicians, businessmen, and black market money dealers have been jailed since, and the list is expected to grow with prosecutors investigating suspects, including the leaders of both chambers of Congress. Even the vice president, Michel Temer, who recently resigned his position as the head of the Brazilian Democratic Movement Party, or PMDB, which not long ago was part of Rousseff's governing coalition, may also face impeachment proceedings. Scholars say the corruption scandal engulfing senior government officials ranks among the most far-reaching in the developing world, comparing it to an earthquake hitting the nation's privileged elite. According to the New York Times, it has unfolded alongside crushing economic challenges as falling commodity prices have sent unemployment soaring to about 9.5% from 6.8% just a year ago. The political crisis facing Brazil is such that not even the telenovelas, the soap operas for which Brazil is so famous, could portray a more outlandish plot. Well, for more on the political and economic crisis facing Brazil in the run-up to the Olympic Games, we turn to two distinguished regional analysts. Paulo Sotero is director of the Brazil Institute at the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars, and that's a think tank based here in Washington. And Eric Farnsworth, he's vice president of the Americas Society and Council of the Americas, and that's an organization widely considered to be the leading voice on Western Hemisphere affairs. And both gentlemen join me here at the VOA Broadcast Center in Washington. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Pleasure to be here, Carol.
Well, Paulo Sotero at the Brazil Institute Woodrow Wilson Center, how shocked are you by the current political crisis in Brazil exploding as it has in the run-up to the Olympics while the country grapples with the Zika virus? And, you know, what are the likely scenarios in the next few weeks?
Saddened, I am shocked also, because this is mostly a self-imposed crisis. It involves not only the government, it involves a very corrupt political and business elite in Brazil. Scenarios. Sunday, April the 17th, the House of Representatives in Brazil is likely to vote to impeach the president. For that, it's needed 342 votes. Latest internal accounts of the PMDB puts them very near that total. If the president is impeached, she will have to step down. Vice President Temer becomes acting president. By recent indications, that would be well received by markets, not necessarily by Brazilians, because the vice president is also unpopular. Now, this is one scenario. The vice president could have a small window of opportunity here to try to form a government while impeachment proceedings continue in the Senate, that, like in the United States, is the body that meets as a court under the chairmanship of the Chief Justice to try the case. Now, second scenario, the impeachment does not pass the House. And you have weakened President Dilma, who is already very discredited, with a minority government because the PMDB of Vice President Temer has already left the coalition, with no perspective of the economy rebounding. The economy had a contraction of 3.8% last year. So you have a very tough scenario with people hurting, 2 million jobs plus already lost. And it's a very difficult situation, and one that Brazil will have to face over the next few years.
And Eric Farnsworth from the Council of the Americas, all this happening in the run-up to the Olympic Games, while the Zika virus is also threatening the country. What's your take on the situation?
Well, it's really unfortunate. It's almost a perfect storm, as you just said. There's so many things happening at once, and none of them seem to be good. The Olympics were meant to be Brazil's coming out party. When they were first given to Brazil, a decision that I personally strongly supported and continue to support, Brazil was riding high. It was a country that could do no wrong. The then president, Lula da Silva, was an international celebrity. Brazil's economy was reporting double-digit gains. It was a country that was standing up to the United States in some ways and standing up to the established order and really establishing its own voice on the global stage. And all of this was a long time in coming. If you fast forward now to today, you have a completely different picture of Brazil. And my fear is that as the international community, perhaps for the first time in many cases, looks at Brazil, instead of seeing a country that's having a coming out party and a real celebration of where it's come, they will see a country that's really on its knees in some way, and a country that is having difficulties finding a path forward politically and economically. That, to me, is a real tragedy because Brazil is a country that deserves a very strong place on the global stage, and it is a country that will find its way. But the snapshot that many people will see in the run-up to the Olympics and the Olympics itself will be one that's considerably less optimistic.
Turning back to you, Paulo Sotero, getting back to the roots of the crisis, how do you think a leftist party, the Workers' Party, PT, that rose to power vowing to stamp out the corruption of the privileged political elite end up embracing its predecessor's practices?
Well, in 2005, we realized that there was a major problem with corruption involving the administration of President Lula. There was a vote-buying scheme in Congress that was caught. Took 7 years to process it, and for the first time, people in high places in Brazil were sentenced and sent to jail, including his minister, chief of staff. There is a silver lining in that, as there is a silver lining in the current situation, which is, for the first time in Brazil, you have a new generation of prosecutors, highly trained, many in the United States, federal judges in their 40s, that are taking the law very seriously and are responding to a demand from Brazilian society to end impunity in Brazil, end impunity of people in high places. And it is unfortunate, it is a tragedy that a person like President Lula, who was the first man of the people to reach the presidency in Brazil, who was absolutely beloved, whose ascension was such an affirmation of democracy in Brazil, ends up embracing precisely the practices that he builds his life on combating. So this is the tragedy. Now, there is a silver lining, I insist. Depending how we use this crisis, a crisis, as someone said, is a horrible thing to waste. You could process this in a way that allows a new generation to emerge and to do what Brazil needs to do, which is to open itself up to the world, to integrate itself in the world economy in a productive way. Brazil is a country that can be a very positive presence in the international scene. When we improve as a nation, when we address economic inequality, health problems, environmental issues, we improve not only our country, we improve the world. So there is a possibility here. That's what I am hopeful about. Just one thing on the Olympics. I think the Olympics, exactly like Eric mentioned, was the coming out party. That was it, how it was thought about. It could be, depending on when the impeachment happens, and if it happens, it could be at least in August, a sort of a release, because we are good at organize parties. We're good at that. So it depends on where we are in the political process. You could see really welcoming people and using this Olympics as a way of saying, don't count us out. We apologize for the inconvenience while we fix the country, you know, why we improve the nation. There is the silver line, but it's not now. Now it's really painful. We are all very apprehensive because this could go very, very wrong.
Turning to you, Eric Farnsworth, for your take on the same question, to what extent do you think that this crisis could trigger some kind of a fundamental change in rooting out corruption in the public sector?
Well, I think that is a potential silver lining. It could very well have a cathartic effect in Brazil to the extent that for once and all, if you want to put it that way, people say no to the to some of the corruption of the past and looking forward in a new way of politics and a new way of doing things. Certainly Brazil's institutions seem to be strong. They seem to be working. And I would anticipate that that would continue. But I think there is another potential scenario here, and it really depends on the Brazilian people themselves. To this point, the Brazilian people have been, in my view, extraordinarily tolerant of what's going on. You have not seen massive street protests. Yes, you have seen some street protests, but they have been, you know, peaceful, and they've been, you know, largely just to express some displeasure. But you have not seen the types of just rejection of the political system that we saw in other countries in Latin America through the years. I'm not suggesting that's going to happen. I am suggesting it's a possible scenario to the extent that this crisis continues on. And this is where I see the major risk. Because many analysts, myself included, but many analysts have been trying to call the bottom of this crisis for months. We've been saying, well, okay, it's bad now, and so-and-so has been, you know, under suspicion, and various political parties, et cetera, but it's going to get better, or it's right around the corner. And it seems that almost every week there's a new revelation, there's a new decision by the Supreme Court, there's a new suggestion that somebody in a political office is corrupt or has committed impeachable offenses or what have you. And at some point, the political system loses the confidence of its people. That's the point that I can't think, that I don't know where that is, and I hope it's a long way away. The Brazilian people have proven extraordinarily tolerant, as I said, and I think they will continue to be. But there is a point where even tolerant people say, we've had enough. And once that point is reached, the question then becomes, do you try to bring in a leader or leaders who are not part of the traditional process, who are completely outside of the mainstream? We're going in some ways through the same process in the United States right now with our own political campaigns. This is what happened in Argentina in 2001. This is what happened in Venezuela in 1999. This is what's happened in other countries. Brazil, it's its own country. It's not Argentina. It's not Venezuela. But my point is, in my view, the ultimate decision here is going to be up to the Brazilian people.
You're listening to Encounter on the Voice of America. My guests are Paulo Sotero. He's director of the Brazil Institute at the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars, and Eric Farnsworth, vice president of the America Society and Council of the Americas. And that's a leading organization on the Western Hemisphere here in Washington. And we're discussing the political crisis engulfing Brazil, even as it grapples with the Zika virus and prepares for the upcoming Olympic Games in Rio. This is a reminder that our Encounter podcast is available for free download on iTunes. You can find the download by clicking on the iTunes tab on our website at voanews.com/encounter. You may also follow me on Twitter at Carol Castile VOA or connect with us on Facebook. Here's a shout out to a loyal listener, Harris Afzal. He's from Islamabad, Pakistan. If you want to hear your name on the show, please send an email to encounter@voanews.com or like us and leave a comment on Facebook. Well, back to you, Paulo Sotero, to talk about the resilience of Brazilian democracy, how this crisis is bringing people out on the streets protesting. Tell us, who is supporting Dilma Rousseff right now? Does she have any base of support? What percentage of the population is against her? And, you know, what would be the fate of the Workers' Party now that its two standard bearers, both Dilma Rousseff and, of course, Lula, have been tainted?
The approval rating of President Dilma Rousseff has been near single digits for a while. This is after her re-election in October of 2014, so this is serious. About two-thirds of the Brazilian voters are saying consistently in polls that they favor her impeachment. She is not a gifted politician. She was a technocrat that was an invention of the very popular President Lula. And one of the reasons she became president, the argument was that she is a very good manager, a detailed-oriented manager. She had been on the board or as chair of the board of directors of Petrobras while this scandal was going on. And now the justification is that, well, she knew nothing about it. So, you know, don't tell this to Brazilians. The people are intelligent people. They think that she must have known something. And now, under plea bargain agreements, this is one of the institutional improvements that has been brought to Brazil in the past 3 years, actually comes also from the United States experience. It has allowed for revelations of people that were indicted and decided to cooperate with justice that, yes, this is more than 80 people already. There were crimes that were committed against the largest company in Brazil that happens also to be a state company that has been virtually destroyed. The market value of Petrobras today is about 10% of what it was about 5 or 6 years ago. So there is this sense that the president is unpopular, she is not very competent politically, and it's very difficult to see how she recovers from this and how she is able to govern even if she survives the impeachment process. She would be under the complete tutelage of President Lula, who she tried to name as chief of staff just recently, and who also has lost a lot of popularity and is rejected today by 57% of the Brazilian people.
So it does leave us asking, you know, what becomes of the Workers' Party? And turning to you, Eric Farnsworth, for your reaction, but also, how about regional reaction? What is the impact on Brazil's neighbors of this political and economic crisis?
Absolutely. And I really want to reinforce what Paulo just said, particularly with reference to Petrobras. Petrobras is a national champion company in Brazil. Petrobras is or has been a world-class company technologically, financially. It is a company that really has in some ways led a revolution in energy in the developing world, in the deep water exploration and in other areas. And so to the extent, first of all, that that reputation is tarnished, but also to the extent that individual investors, many of them mom-and-pop investors in Brazil who were encouraged to buy shares in Petrobras as a, not a civic duty, but as a way to support Brazil's rise onto the global scene, they were making a lot of money in terms of their shares over the years, but now the value of the company has been dramatically reduced. As Paulo said, recently it's gone back up. But the point is that that's hitting people in their pocketbooks, and they're really seeing a real destruction of wealth in some ways. That's a problem and a complication. But in terms of the broader regional reaction, it's really interesting. Of course, Latin America has a very strong presumption toward non-intervention in the internal affairs of other countries, and this is no different. And in fact, it has been in some ways quite revealing that there has been almost no comment from Latin America about what's going on in Brazil, either good or bad or indifferent, simply no comment at all. This is something that is not necessarily a concern, but, you know, the crisis in Brazil does have implications for the other countries.
Exactly.
And the reason why is because, well, several ways, but not the least of which is that Brazil's economy today is about 50% of Latin America's overall economy. So if Brazil's economy is in recession, as it is, and Brazil's political system can't find ways to address that recession, as seems to be the case, that impacts neighbors such as Argentina, which desperately needs an economically healthy Brazil to recover on its own. It affects countries like Peru. It affects countries like Chile, etc. It also affects countries like the United States, which trade with Brazil. So there are broader implications here. I think the second implication is one of example. Brazil has been a democratic example for the region for some time. And the way many people are watching to see how the political system addresses this crisis, and is it addressed in a democratic way, or is it addressed in a way that further divides the country and becomes a problem? In my personal view, it doesn't help to call what's going on right now a coup, for example. It's not a coup. It's an impeachment. impeachment process. The United States has had two presidents impeached, Andrew Jackson and Bill Clinton, and we had a third president who was almost impeached, resigned before he could be, Richard Nixon. And the point is that nobody called those issues coups. They're not coups. It's an impeachment process. Now, that's a separate thing, but the point is that when we amplify the rhetoric and we start putting it in that context, it makes it very difficult to stand down from positions that people have taken. It makes it much more polarizing and much more difficult to recover from. So I think we have to be careful about how we talk about these issues, too. And the region, I think, is sensitive to those issues.
Indeed. That's how Dilma Rousseff characterized this impeachment process, which probably doesn't augur well for the future of the Workers' Party. But Paulo Sotero, to you, some analysts and even political figures are advocating new presidential elections in Brazil as an alternative to this impeachment process. So what are the prospects of that? And you talked earlier about the municipal elections coming up this year. What are those implications?
Well, municipal elections in October, all indications are that the Workers' Party, once a very popular or well-organized party, will be trounced, will pay the price in the upcoming municipal elections. They have already lost a bunch of mayors that have simply switched parties because they don't want to face the electorate as members of this party, now associated, unfortunately, with corruption. Moving forward, it will really depend on how we process this. As Eric said, this is not a coup. The Supreme Court of Brazil analyzed that last December and said this is a constitutional process. I think it doesn't help that the president is saying those things, because if, for instance, she prevails and we do not impeach, it will be as constitutional as if we impeach her. It's the exact same process. The question here is to create, looking forward, some sort of political arrangement that would allow the country to address its fundamental structural problems. A new election, it could become a viable solution. Very difficult to see it now, though. This would come from either a decision by the Congress or by a decision by the Superior Electoral Tribunal in Brazil that has three or four cases of accusations of fraud in the 14 elections. There is evidence now that the fraud took place and that money that stolen from Petrobras was used in the campaign. If that is determined, you could have a cancellation, basically, an annulment of the election, and then in 90 days you could have new election. But this is a very complex process. I don't think it would help very much solution to the crisis right now.
And as we close, one quick question to you before I let Eric close out the program, and that is the impact of all this on trying to grapple with the Zika virus, as well as the Olympic Games. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, Brazil now is a country that projects an image of crisis, so this is not very inviting, okay? And the Zika virus is affected, in a sense, our capacity to deal with that, because what has happened in Brazil under Dilma Rousseff is that fiscal accounts have been messed up, so the government and the authorities have much less resources to face this and other epidemic problems we have. So this is a challenge. I believe we will be able to overcome it, but only if we face it head on.
And the last word to you, Eric Farnsworth, with respect to talk about a potential presidential elections in Brazil as an alternative to the impeachment process, and, you know, the effect on the ability for the country to deal with these basic problems, Zika out of the blue, and now, of course, Olympic Games.
These are big issues even without a political crisis. But I would simply say, with reference to the Olympics, I believe the Olympics will be a success. And frankly, I'm looking forward to them, and I think many people, as possible, should try to attend. And the good news is that the Games are being organized by a local Rio organizing committee. They're not being organized by the Planalto Palace in Brasilia. I think Zika is a reality. It is an issue that is affecting the entire region, not just Brazil, and it requires a global response. But clearly, yes, anything that takes away from that, I think, is a challenge. I think the last thing I would say is this, with reference to your question about the elections and a path forward. in some ways, we don't really know what the best path forward is because we still don't know what are all the revelations that are to come. We just saw the Panama Papers released. How is that going to address Brazil? Or is it? It may not, but it is already beginning to name names. How is the continuation of the Lava Jato Petrobras corruption scandal going to play out? But having said all of that, I would concur with Paulo. The Brazilian people are resilient, they're patient and tolerant, and at the end of the day, in my view, they will find a path forward.
On that cautiously optimistic note, I'm afraid that's all the time we have on this edition of Encounter. I'd like to thank my guest, Paulo Sotero. He's director of the Brazil Institute at the Wilson Center here in Washington, and Eric Farnsworth, vice president of the America Society and Council of the Americas. Gentlemen, thank you so much for your fabulous insights.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carol.
Encounter was produced in Washington. Thanks to Anna Zalewski for booking our guests, and our engineer was Rashad Smith. I'm Carol Castiel. Join me again next week for another Encounter on The Voice of America.